This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here, Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Paul Savage, Brandon Zinner, DJ Cleland, all here to make some football picks. It's all NFL this weekend, fellas, as we wait for college football to get back going. Jad, before we do, I know you were gone last week. I think Paul sent you the results there. How are things looking going into this home stretch of our football picks?
Well, I believe Tommy won the week.
Yep. Yes, I did.
Yeah, you were 5-1.
Baby, let's go.
Man, every other week you have a terrible week and a good week and then a terrible week and then a good week.
I got to buck that trend now.
Yeah, you kind of need to because we're starting to run out of time, guys. Now, TJ, he's the one that knows we're running out of time because, Paul, you are only one game up on TJ right now.
What?
Yeah, he has pulled to within one game.
Oh, look at that smug smirk. That is sickening, man. That you're gloating.
Paul, you just keep picking these picks off of people's bedtimes, and I'll keep making the right ones.
I just gotta say, Paul, don't tease up a couple of points like you did Oregon Penn State last week, because you are only one game up.
All right, I got you. You know something? I'm getting serious right now. Now it's game time. Money's on the table. I'm getting serious about this. I've just been joking around.
Money's on the table? What money?
Okay. You didn't know that? Yeah. You didn't know money's on the table, Jacob?
Yeah, you're so good. We've been worrying about taking your money.
Yeah, you should feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Trying to send kids to college over here.
All right.
Let's get into it, boys. Jad, hit the music. We're going to start because it's a noon game this week, the rare one. The Chiefs going on the road for the Sunday noon kick. They face a team with the world's most exciting quarterback under center, a team with one of the world's best pass rushers. The Chiefs are Laying 4 points on the road, Tommy. Is that are you biting again? I don't know where you've been on the Chiefs lately, but yeah. Do you just say 4 points is too many points?
Well, I think 1 point is too many points. The Chiefs don't cover. They haven't covered in weeks. It just isn't what works. And so until they cover, and it might be this weekend, but until they cover again, I'm not going to pick them to cover. Give me the Browns and give me those points at home.
Paul, are you taking the Browns at home?
You know something? I'm tempted because, you know, if I look at teams in the NFL who right now are functional to semi-dysfunctional, I would say, you know, the Browns might kind of fall under that dysfunctional groundwork. I just have no confidence in the Browns. But on the other hand, Tommy's right. You know, I hate to admit it, but Tommy's right. Chiefs don't do a very good job of covering. You know, they win games, but they don't cover games. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Taking the Chiefs. Brandon, you gonna fall for it here? The Chiefs have been teasing us for a long time.
Well, how about this for a stat? The Chiefs don't cover, but this year when the line is between 2.5 and 5.5, they do cover 3-1. There's no reason to believe this team except for that one stat alone. So maybe I'll get a Chiefs island. Go ahead and give it to me.
TJ? You gonna give Brandon like a chance? Well, I haven't picked yet either, but what where are you at with this?
That stat that Brandon pulled up, they didn't cover last week as 4-point favorites, so the one was a week ago.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Browns in this one. I think it's a bad disaster, a bad recipe for the Chiefs this week. I think the pass rush is going to be real good from the Browns. And Jameis Winston, boom or bust, I'm going to call a boom. Five big booms, actually. Give me the Browns.
Ah, man.
Chiefs Island to start would be electric.
It would be electric. And I just like Jameis allows so much freedom for a cover with his pick sixes that I'm just like, that's where I'm stuck on this.
Hey, let me throw out another thought to you, Jacob, real quick. Brandon is 20 games under 500 in these picks. So he's got to have a Chiefs island. So just
we bring stats. No one says they work, but we bring
stats. Yeah, we do bring the stats. Look, it's a Myles Garrett issue. It's a fact that Jameis isn't afraid to go over the top, and the Chiefs have been vulnerable to that. I'm going to also take the Browns. And that's a tough spot historically for any team in the NFL.
Now, Brandon, I took the Chiefs. You're not on an island.
Oh!
I thought you took the Browns. What? There,
oh, did
Paul?
I take the Browns? Okay, I'll take the Browns.
Well, hang on.
Said I'm taking the Chiefs. A Paul special.
Paul, I had you as taking the Chiefs as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
He
talked up the Browns.
Yeah, I talked up the Browns and then took the Chiefs.
The Paul
at the
special,
end.
My bad.
You're
Paul,
so confusing, Paul.
Jeez.
Colts
I've
and
heard
Broncos.
That all my life, by the way. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Right? Yeah. Let's start it off then, Paul. Colts and Broncos. The ponies. The battle of the ponies here. Broncos 4-point favorites at home. What do you like in this
one? You know something? I kind of like the – I'll tell you what. If this game was like 10 weeks ago, I'm not sure I would have been able to say, yeah, I kind of like the Broncos. But you want to know something? That's why you play games and you play to get better. You practice to get better. The Broncos – I don't think anybody wants to play the Broncos. They have pretty good moments. I'm going to take the Broncos in this game. And this is at home. This is at Mile High. It's going to be a little nippy up there. I think this is a game set up perfect for the Broncos playing a team that plays in a dome.
Brandon, what if I told you 6 months ago that Bo Nix is better than Anthony Richardson?
Oh, I'd say still give me J.J. McCarthy because it doesn't even matter. Denver wins this one. They're all but assured that they're going to get a playoff spot. They'll be three clear of Indianapolis if they get this one. Both teams coming off of a bye. But outside of the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Denver has just looked like a playoff team the last 2 months.
Yep.
Give me Denver.
TJ, you agree?
I agree. They're in the playoff hunt, basically. In the playoffs, they're playing for seeding now, so why not try to keep pouring it on? I'm a Bo Nix truther. Give me Denver.
I think the Colts can keep it within four. That's a pretty big number. That's a pretty big number for a not bad team in Indianapolis. I'll take the points there. I'll take a shot because I think Tommy will probably take the Broncos. I'll take a shot for an island and get some points on it. I'll take the Colts.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, though, about the Colts is that, you know, we talk about the Broncos and their playoff chances in this game. With a win, the Colts' odds of making the playoffs go from 25% to 50%. But if they lose the game, they're basically out of the playoff hunt. It drops all the way down to 3% with the Colts' loss. So it is an extremely crucial game for Indianapolis if they have any chance of making the playoffs. That being said, I am going to pick the Broncos, though, because I mean they've been pretty good this year, and they can lock up a playoff spot for sure. So I'm going to lay those points at home for Denver.
And if nothing else, the Colts play a lot of close games, like a lot of close games if you look at their schedule. All right, Bills, Lions, the Lions 2.5-point favorites here, Brandon, against the Bills. It's not trappy, but I was fascinated to see where this line fell. And this is a really difficult line. I can't wait for this game, obviously, but man, it is a tough one to pick.
Yeah, it is. And just doing the research, another stat that's probably just going to come back in my face, but pretty fascinating. Against the AFC as a Lion, Jared Goff, 7-2 against the spread, and he covers on average by 11 points. They don't just beat AFC teams, they blow them out. It just feels like Buffalo, they always have a little span here, 3-4 games where things just don't look right. They're still going to be in the playoffs, but give me Detroit in a nice bounce back spot after a close one last week.
Do the Lions ever fall back to earth in this season, TJ? Like, can you know, what are you doing with 2.5?
My argument here is that everybody likes Jared Goff in a dome. Wait till you see Josh Allen in a dome. I think the Bills' offense is going to cook when they're playing indoors. They're used to having to buckle it down in the cold. I think that Josh Allen's going to go crazy in this game. Give me the Bills to get it done on the road. Big win. Confuse everybody. Who's good? Who's not?
They just lost in a dome.
Yeah, they just lost.
It's a different dome.
Different dome.
The best defense for Josh Allen is to keep him off the field. And the Lions can do that better than any team in football. So I'm going to take the Lions here, -2.5. Any range of value, no confidence in that. But I do think the way you can limit Josh Allen is to not let him be out there. And the Lions run the ball better than anybody in football. I'm going to take the Lions. Tommy?
You know what? Detroit has been really good against the spread this season. They're 9-4 overall. I think what's interesting, I mean, this line has kind of moved all over the place, and I know that you've got us picking it at -2.5, but and it's moved there. At one point, got all the way down to 1.5 for Detroit as of, I think, yesterday, and then moved back to 2.5. I think all that being said, though, I mean, taking Detroit at home when they're 9-4 against the spread overall, that's probably the right play. I'm going to take the Lions. I'll lay that 2.5. I think though, I mean, it's a coin flip. They're getting they're laying those points because they're at home. But regardless, I think I'm going to take Detroit.
Paul, it probably is as simple as you cannot let TJ have a Bills Island here. But what are you thinking with this?
Well,
one?
But
your Lions were on Hard Knocks. I know.
I know, and I'm going. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give the locker room speech just before the Lions go out. So pretend like I'm Dan Campbell, guys. Nobody in this country thinks we can do this. Everybody thinks we're pretenders.
They're favored.
But guys, I'll tell you what. We believe in each other in this room. In this room. The nation may not believe us. We're getting ready to play pretty boy Josh Allen and his Bills. And we've got to beat him. We've got to set the pace for what's coming up. We've got to get the respect of this league. Guys, let's get out there and do it. Let's go.
Okay, listen, 4 out of 5 people are picking the Lions, and Vegas thinks the Lions are favorites. But, you know, if Dan Campbell can get that kind of motivation, good for Dan Campbell.
I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I like it. All right, so there's the Bills. There's no island. Bucks, Chargers. This is one of my this week in the NFL rocks, by the way. It's going to be so good this weekend. Bucks Chargers is fascinating. Clash of styles. Like, this is all over the place, TJ, with what these teams want to do, how they defend it. Chargers are 3-point home favorites. You think they can stop the Bake Show?
You know, Justin Herbert looked really good in the second half against the Chiefs. I'm assuming Ladd McConkey's going to play. I don't know. I've been following up on that.
I'm assuming
like
as well. Yeah.
I feel like if Ladd McConkey was on the field against the Chiefs, the Chargers might have won that game because they were really bad in the first half. Having him might have helped. So I'll ride the hot hand of the Chargers. Give me LA.
Yeah, that's a good asterisk because he was limited again yesterday in practice. I'm with you exactly. If Ladd McConkey plays, I'm going to take the Chargers, assuming he'll play. If he doesn't, though, I'd really be careful with this game. It's kind of like what the it's a really like the Chargers defend the pass well, right? And the Buccaneers throw the ball. Buccaneers can defend the run. The Chargers would like to run the ball, but I'm going to take the Chargers at home -3. You know, Baker might have a hard time with Bosa and Mac and all those guys, but I'll take the home points there. But watch that Ladd McConkey injury if you're actually going to bet this game. Tommy?
So, I mean, I think that this is a really good letdown spot for the Chargers. You know, they're not going to win the AFC West. The Chiefs clinched that a week ago with their win on Sunday Night Football. So, I mean, they're obviously still in the playoff push, and they'll make the playoffs barring some major collapse down the stretch. But I think at least in this one game at home, they're probably thinking they can take their foot off the gas a little bit. Give me the Big Show. Give me the Bucks on the road. I'll take those points.
Paul? Where do you stand on this battle of two teams that really would like to be in the playoffs and get there? Two good teams, two good quarterbacks.
You know, I said before this show started, I really don't have – there's several of these games I don't have a feel for. This is one of those games. And I'll tell you, I can make a case for both of them. And yet, on the other hand, there's something about the Chargers. There's just something about the Chargers that fascinate me to a point where I'm going to go ahead and take the Chargers. And other than that – I mean, for me, this is a toss of a coin. Sorry, guys, but it's just a toss of the coin. Even though it's 3 points, I'm still going to take the Chargers.
I mean, aren't we all just tossing the coin when we're betting, Brandon? The best of it is like 55% probably over time. Where do you like this one?
Yeah, my stat that I wrote down for this one is I just circled Tampa Bay. We like the Bills in a dome. Wait till you see Bucky Irving and Mike Evans in a dome this weekend against the Chargers. I think this is a really good spot for the Bucks on the road.
Man, I thought I was going to get a Bucks.
I thought you might.
Oh,
yeah, which would have been.
I'm a Bucks believer.
Which would have been really strange. I'm a Bucks believer, too. I believe in both of these teams. I think they're both pretty good. Steelers-Eagles, another fascinating game. We've got the Eagles 5.5-point favorites at home. You guys know I really like what the Steelers are cooking, but I don't like it in this game. I'm going to take the Eagles here. No George Pickens. I think that, you know, the Eagles want to run the ball, and they will run the ball, and they've got their own issues, but it feels like a little bit. The Eagles are kind of like the Chiefs. Like, they keep winning all these games, but people, you know, just try to find out what's wrong with the team because Jalen Hurts hasn't looked, whatever it is. But I think Pittsburgh's going to be pretty limited without George Pickens. So I'm going to take the Eagles and lay 5.5. But I think this is going to be another really fun game to watch. Tommy?
You know what's funny is I could have sworn that you were going to pick the Steelers because I know how much you love them.
No, George Pickens. He's a big key for them.
And I'm sure that you would have sworn that I was going to take the Eagles. I'm not. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to take the points in this game. And the reason being, the dysfunction continues to grow in Philadelphia. All the drama this week with Brandon Graham and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. And, like, those two guys are not on the same page. And Brandon Graham speaking about it and all of that stuff. I think the Steelers, what they do best is they put their head down and they go handle business. Even though they're on the road, if they're getting 5.5, I don't know if they'll win the game, but I certainly think they can cover that 5.5.
Oh, I think Mike Tomlin's history as an underdog is incredible. Brandon may have something on that, but like his history as an underdog is wild, I think. But, you know, I'm gonna fall for it this week to some degree. Paul, which side of this are you on?
You know something? I'm just going to say the name of one person, and you said it already, Coach Tomlin. I mean, I'll tell you what, when it comes right down to it, you know, you got to think about this guy and what he does and how he prepares and how his players believe in him. And granted, I think the Eagles are probably from top to bottom a better team. Dysfunction, no sure. Dysfunction, whatever it is. I think that the Eagles are a really good football team. But you know something? Those points grab my attention. 5.5. That's a lot of points. Yeah. For a team like a Coach Tomlin-led football team, that's a lot of points. I've taken the Steelers. I think it could be a close game, but I'll tell you what, that 5.5 swings it for me to the Steelers.
Brandon, we saw the Steelers struggle without Pickens last week. They're not going to have him again by all accounts. Can they Mike Tomlin this game up enough, though? I think they definitely can, but which side of it are you taking?
I don't know if they can Mike Tomlin it up enough, but the Eagles can surely Nick Sirianni it up enough. This is the time of year where, yeah, A.J. Brown's complaining about who knows what. He's fourth in the league in yards per game, and he still says passing is their biggest issue. That vibes are just weird in Philly right now. Vibes are high in Pittsburgh, even with no George Pickens. I think they find a way to muddy this up enough. I'll take the Steelers and the points on the road. They've been a wagon all year. Keep riding them.
Yeah, I like what they're cooking. I just don't know. Jalen Hurts looks not good, TJ, throwing the ball. Like, he does not look good. They can run the ball, obviously, but he's been bad as a passer this year. I don't think I'm buying into the drama quite as much as everybody else is. What do you think?
I'm going to pull out some stats here like Brandon as well. Eagles have won 9 straight games, and they've won 8 straight games by 5 or more points. I'm going to take that and just hope to Jesus that they can get me the extra half point in this one. So give me Philadelphia.
I want to make it clear. If Pickens was playing, I think the Steelers would beat the Eagles, but I just don't think they have much else in the pass game. All right. Packers-Seahawks, another really difficult one. Tommy, you'll start us here. Seahawks are 2.5-point home underdogs. The most forgotten team in football every single year are the Seattle Seahawks. But Green Bay's good. Where are you at with this one?
I'm probably going to butcher this quote. Didn't Geno last year say, or a couple years ago, say something like, they counted us out, we didn't count back, or something like that? That's kind of what has happened with the Seahawks. I mean, as you mentioned, they're the most overlooked and forgotten about team in the NFL, in my opinion. It's interesting with the NFC West. TJ and I talked about it on the show yesterday. Who's going to step up and actually take the NFC West? The Rams made a statement on that last night. The Niners are out of it. The Cardinals have kind of fallen off. I think it's going to be a two-horse race between the Rams and the Seahawks. I like the Packers, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to get points on Seattle at home and they need to keep pace with the Rams and win that division, give me Seattle. I'm going to take the Seahawks and I'll take those points.
Paul, the Seahawks are only a game worse, than the Packers are this year. That's, yeah. Again, yeah. We forget about them all the time. Which side of this are you taking?
Well, you know, I've not ever really been a Love fan. He's not my guy. He's not my quarterback. He's not the guy I would pick to lead my team. There are a lot of other quarterbacks I would take. So I'm not a believer in him. With that being said, I like the trending of the Seahawks. I like what they're doing. This is right. Tommy, I think you said it well when you said home team. Getting points, I kind of like that with you. I think that is enough reason for me to take the Seahawks. I will take the Seahawks.
Brandon?
Well, Tommy, the quote was, they wrote me off, I ain't right back.
That's right. Yeah, I knew I would butcher
great.
Say that again, what was it?
Smith moment. What's that?
Say it again, I didn't catch that.
They wrote me off, I ain't right back, though.
That's right.
I never heard that. I'll be darned.
But the Packers offense. The Packers offense, they're kind of struggling as of late. They haven't eclipsed 300 yards in each of their last 3 games. I don't think I've picked the Seahawks game right all year. I haven't picked many games right all year, but I just like the vibes in Seattle. Home dogs, I'll ride with them against the Packers.
What do you think, TJ?
I'm picking this one for one reason and one reason alone. Sunday is Gabby Sands' birthday. She's a Packers fan, so go Pack go. They're covering.
This is your fiance, correct? Mm-hmm. That's a smart way to pick.
It's romantic.
Smart
man. Oh, geez. Yeah, it's so that's, sweet. That's good Lord.
Listen, I'm about to Paul Savage it because I think the Packers are better than the Seahawks. I think, you know, they're going into good weather, all of these things. But, man, I'm just going to take the Seahawks because they're getting points at home. The Seahawks, why do we do this with them? They have an insanely talented pass-catching group. They got 2 really good running backs, and Charbonnet showed last week that if Walker's out, he's going to be fine. Geno's, at least an average, if not above average, quarterback, and their defense is pretty good. Yet we never think about, like, Seattle never gets, they're the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I'm going to take those home points. Is that it? We good?
That's it.
Any island there? Are you the only one that took the Packers, TJ?
No, we got the Broncos. I think Jacob, you got the Colts, don't you? As an island?
Yeah, I took a Colts mm-hmm. island.
I think we got another
Hills island.
Yeah. Well, 2 islands. We'll see how it goes. You know, TJ and Paul are neck and neck here. The rest of us are just
looking sweating right now. Can you see that? He's nervous as can be. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, see what you don't understand, TJ, is that this is life altering. These kind of victories to be champion of this, it's life altering.
I almost just said a term that might have got us in trouble. I'm going to have to ask Jad if I'm allowed to say that during the break. I'm not sure. That's it. That's the picks this week. Will we get college football back next week? We'll get it back soon. But until then, we'll just keep picking NFL games, and we'll take football picks as long as we can, basically as long as we can take them. So be ready for that. On the way out here, let's give away some NFR tickets. PBR. Different rodeo event. Professional bull riders coming to Wichita. It's the PBR Unleash the Beast Tour this Friday night at Interest Bank Arena. We're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets. All you got to do is text the keyword BEAST to the short code 20357. That contest ends in about 40 minutes, so we'll get a winner there, but you do have one more chance to get in. Text the keyword BEAST to 20357. It's professional bull riding right here in Wichita tonight. Again, 20357 BEAST. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. We've got more. Paul sticks around as we get ready for college basketball this weekend. Brandon, TJ, we'll talk soon. You'll be seeing Brandon, TJ over the next few days through the holidays here on the show as well. Good luck with your picks, everybody. Let's all make some money. And we'll be right back on the other side. We'll tell you about Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support of the program here. We are getting ready for the holiday season out there. I know they've got some big deals coming up on stuff inside the clubhouse there. If you're looking for some golf, they'll have a great place to go eat and party for some of the holiday things. It is getting to the point where you can't golf every day, but they got all kinds of stuff, including two simulators that you can get in there and swing it around on. So give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask about all those different kinds of memberships. You can have fun just with the pool and the social stuff if you want, or you can play all the golf you want too. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. All right, fellas, we got college basketball back this weekend. KU, they get a game against NC State. It's at home. NC State right now looks, they're 7-3 on the year. They're about 78 in the, you know, in KenPom. Sorry, I'm looking at KenPom and the net. They're in KenPom, they're about 78. It's a game KU should clearly win. We don't have a line or anything on the game yet, but what do we need to see, Tommy, to right what has been wronged over the last couple of weeks with those two losses on the road? Like, what do we need to see? Because obviously they can't go play a quality road game. It's not on the schedule. So what can we see that would make you feel better?
I think what would make me feel better a lot moving forward would be not Bill Self not having to put as much pressure on the veterans on the team, guys like DeJuan Harrison, KJ Adams, and Hunter Dickinson. I would like to see all three of those guys playing 30 minutes in the game or maybe even a couple minutes less. They've got enough depth to where you don't have to run those guys ragged. And that's really been an issue that we've seen recently with Hunter Dickinson, where he has looked gassed at times, you know, when he's playing a lot of minutes. And that's something that I know that Bill Self talked about before the season, that he's got to try to find ways to give those guys more breathers. But it's kind of like when we talked in hour number one about how Andy Reid does what Andy Reid does. Bill Self does what Bill Self does. Like, he's going to always lean on the experience and the trust factor that he has with his veterans. And so we need to see the newcomers, whether they're, you know, young like Flory Badunga or the transfers in like Storr and Griffin and Mayo, really be able to step up to be able to take that pressure off the shoulders of guys like Dickinson, Harris, and Adams.
Yeah, I think I agree, Paul. It's Badunga for me, and I brought this up. Like, I'd like to see them be able to get him more involved and figure out a way to keep Dickinson fresh, I guess.
Right, fresh is a good word.
Just like, and I could be totally wrong about this, by the way. Like, this isn't like something I'm passionate about. I just wonder though what the team can look like at its peak without Dickinson on the floor, and if it offers any more athleticism, and if they could figure out a rotation that lets him stay fresh, because to me he does look like he's laboring a little bit for whatever reason. And so that's kind of what I want to see. Where is it for you, Paul?
Right now it's the paint. Right now that KU's got to do a better job of defending the paint. You know, there's teams that have ways of drawing, you know, Dickerson out to the edge of the paint and that kind of stuff. And that's not his strength. His strength is around the basket, deep into the paint. And if KU can defend the paint, I think KU changes. They change in ways on defense that don't allow teams, you know, back doors and easier baskets. So for me, it's figure out the paint. get Dickinson in a position where he can defend in a more useful manner, in a more effective manner. Actually, effective manner is a better way of saying it. So for me, it boils down to take care of the paint, and KU will be fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they'll be fine in this game. I think they're going to bounce back, Tommy, and win in a big way and be good and do all those things. To your point, you know, at what point do we just expect all these guys to start becoming bigger factors from the outside? Like, I don't know what's magically going to make that happen. I know that Shreyas, I believe, Paul, if you remember correctly, you know, it's AJ's store that he's sort of pointing to as the biggest letdown as far as those guys coming in. But I'm not ready to, you know, last year it became pretty clear that they weren't talented enough out there. I'm still not ready to even start that conversation yet, because I do think they're far more talented out there, Tommy, than just, you know, what we saw last year that became so clear and so obvious when we were watching. I still do think this group can get there. How much do you think practice sucked this week?
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was tough. I'm sure it was tough. But look, like this is a necessary stretch, I think, for the Jayhawks. You know, I don't historically, as I've followed the Jayhawks program, I usually don't like the teams that start the year as the preseason number one. I mean, you look back to a season ago. I mean, they completely underperformed for sure.
Yeah.
I typically don't like those really highly hyped teams. And they needed to go through a stretch like they went through last week. And I would rather them go through it in the beginning of December than go through it in February. Now, the question is, how do they respond to all of this? I think that, you know, going back to the letdown factor of AJ Store, I think it's not obviously not just him. I mean, Rylan Griffin, I think, probably needs to play better, make more shots. Zeke Mayo has shown flashes, but we need more consistency from there. You know, David Coit has done a really good job too, when he really hasn't been, I think, on the radar to do so early on in the season. We're going to know pretty quickly the kind of resolve and resiliency that this team has in not only this game tomorrow, and I agree with you, I think that they win. I think they win comfortably against NC State. But we're knocking on the doorstep of Big 12 play. And just like every single year, the Big 12 is a juggernaut. I mean, you know, you've got Houston and you've got Iowa State, and they look really good. And multiple other teams. I know Arizona, you know, has had some letdowns during non-conference, but there are really, really good teams in this conference. So you're going to find out pretty quickly if they're able to shake off this last week, or if it's going to be more like the team that we saw a season ago. And they've got more talent than by far than what they had a season ago, but can they perform at that level?
I'm going to ask you this, Tommy, because you're plugged into the pulse of KU very closely. The vibe I get from the most critical is that it's just not going to, like, the Hunter Dickinson version of the Jayhawks is just not going to be able to win a national championship. That's where I think that I keep looking at that area, is can they get better with him, right? And can they better utilize that spot? They were so dependent on it a year ago. I guess I just don't want them to need to be as dependent on that as they were a year ago, because I don't think that's going to work either. Right. I don't think Hunter Dickinson or bust is going to be enough for Kansas to reach what they want to reach.
Why do you think Bill Self was so aggressive in the portal going into this season? Because
it's feeling like they're kind of going down that road again.
They tried that. It's not intentional. They tried that a season ago. Now, of course, we can look back on Arterior Morris and, you know, all the other things that happened with that team where, you know, that wasn't the initial plan going into it. It became the reality last season. They had zero depth. They had nobody that could produce shooting the ball from outside. They had no shot makers. They had nobody that could create offense. They were leaning on DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams to do that. And that's not really their game necessarily. They do other things well, but from an offensive creation standpoint, that's not either DeJuan Harris or KJ Adams. They had to do that. And defenses knew that all they had to do was stop Hunter Dickinson. That was it. They had no other kind of weapon. The Jayhawks couldn't play inside out. They couldn't create shots on the outside. They were not shooting from the perimeter, and they had no depth. And so as soon as you got Hunter Dickinson tired or in foul trouble or whatever, it was a disaster a season ago for Kansas. And Bill Self went out and he got a ton of reinforcements. He went out and he got depth from the transfer portal, plug and play guys that could jump in right away. I know the feeling, and believe me, I know a lot of people that feel it right now of, like you just mentioned, this team feels an awful lot like where we were getting to a year ago, where they don't have, you know, the shot makers and the offense creators and things like that. They do. They just need those guys to actually do it. And I think that's the difference. That's the difference from a year ago to this year, is that you could look up and down the roster a season ago and you had no idea who was even capable of creating offense. You know who's capable of creating offense this season. They just have to be more consistent in doing it.
Mm-hmm. But Paul, Coach Savage here, if you're the opposition and you're going into a game against Kansas, and we know all of this about, like, top priority, right, is easy. Stop Hunter Dickinson.
Right.
Like, let's make it. Yeah. And honestly, I think that's a good thing, right? Because that's what teams are going to do to them. So mm-hmm. It's either kind of like swim or drown a little bit for KU.
Man, I'd like to be a guard at the University of Kansas. I'd like to be a forward or a swing man. I'd like to be one of those guys, because you're going to have opportunity, because teams are going to stop Hunter Dickinson. They're going to do whatever it takes. And that's the good thing. We talk about, you know, the paint with Hunter Dickinson, but on the other hand, we also talk about playing for the opportunity. And listen, North Carolina State believes, they've looked at film, they believe they can have they'll put together a game plan that they can come in to Allen Fieldhouse and win a game. I think they're a decent basketball team. Are they a great team? No, they're not a great team. You know, they're going to probably be lower half in the
ACC. They'll be middle of the pack.
Right. Yeah. But the point is that everybody knows, how do you beat Kansas? Well, you know, there's a thing called film, and everybody knows exactly how you beat the University of Kansas. So the teams that give KU a run for their money are going to know that you get Hunter Dickinson, you get him pulled out, you get him trying to do other things other than what you got teammates to do, and that's your success. So now the point is, of course, countering it. Now, has Bill Self in this week been able to do what it takes to fix the things that are wrong? We'll see. However, you're going to see teams that are a whole lot better than North Carolina State once Big 12 play starts. So yeah, we'll see.
I like this opportunity for Kansas tomorrow.
Well, it might be the right type of team, isn't it, Jacob? It might be just about.
Well, it's just right to beat. Because what I don't want at this point, coming off a week like that, is KU to not be tested in any way before Big 12. Like,
right.
They play Brown. So they'll play NC State, and then they go another week and they play Brown. So it's been fast and furious and crazy, and they've played all these high-end teams. And then it's like, I you don't want to see them come and play a couple cupcakes, and then boom, it's conference play. So I'm actually really happy this NC State game is there,
right,
to give us that before – you know, conference play starts, it feels like soon, but it's not until New Year's Eve that we see conference play begin for Kansas. So I'm glad we get this one. That'll be on Saturday. All right, let's take one more break here. We'll come back. We'll get ahead of the Shockers this weekend, going on the road for a nice test. Speaking of those, on the way out, let's give away some HTO. These will be good for either Wichita location or in Derby. And what you can do to win is enter the keyword T right now to 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea. That'll get you a free iStore hot coffee. Both of them available to you. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back. We'll talk a little Shockers when we return on Sports Daily. Everybody, that IHOP hotline is open for you, by the way, the rest of the way. It's brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try our decadent, fully loaded French toast, only at IHOP. How about this, fellas? KFH here. We're now is the Kansas fan headquarters. Love that.
Yeah, how about that?
In now, KFH, love it. Shout out to Tony for that. I like that. We are listening to us on KFH, or you're watching us, or while listening to us on the Odyssey app, all these cool places that you can see us, including 12 News Connected. We appreciate your time. Shockers go to DePaul. They make the true road trip to Chicago, just like I really like the test for KU. Man, I love this one. For Wichita State, DePaul's 106 in the KenPom. They're better than that in the net, which is what really matters. excuse me. So I kind of use KenPom as like a metric to see how good teams might be, but then the net is what really matters for the schedule. DePaul might end up being a quad one or quad two game as a true roadie if they end up good. So this is a really, not only is it a good test for Wichita State, Paul, it's a tremendous opportunity for a resume booster for Wichita State. Go beat a Big East team on the road, true road game like this. This could be a meaningful game down the road.
Yeah. Well, there was a point of time when DePaul was really something special. Now, they've not been that for a while, you know, back in the days of Ray Meyer. Boy, we haven't mentioned that name on this show in how long. It's probably been years. But, you know, Ray Myers was a tremendous coach. Well, he's a Hall of Fame coach, obviously. And so, but that's not the DePaul of today. But today, particularly this year, they're a little bit better. So this will give Wichita State a great test. You know, just how I remember when we were talking about Florida and playing Minnesota in the tournament, you know, you got an ACC team and you got an SEC team, and how important it is to beat those kind of teams for the image of this team, for your confidence. Same thing goes with a Big East team. You got to beat Big East teams. This is not a bad team. It's not a great team, but this is a team that's better than it's been in a while. So you go out, you beat them on the road, and you come back and you get ready for ACC or AAC play. And so I think it's a big test. And I think, quite frankly, I think the Shockers we're starting to see playing the paint that's a little better, defense a little better. I think Coach Mills is getting across to these guys what he's wanting, and I kind of like it. There's senior leadership on this team. It's an experienced team, and I'll tell you what, I'll make the prediction right now. Wichita State goes into Chicago and wins this basketball game. I don't know by how much, but they win.
Yeah, I think so too, Paul. I think so too. And Tommy, Paul mentioned in the paint something we brought up. And by the way, Wichita State coming off of a 96-point performance. So they're kind of finding their legs offensively too, clearly. But I think the one thing that surprised me, and we brought this up, you know, Ronnie DeGray's absence is a big one. But it has allowed Quincy Ballard to play be the best version of himself since that injury. He has played more than 25 minutes in every game since that injury, Tommy. So, you know, the concern was, what are they going to do there? Can, you know, if they put Mate and Ballard on the floor, then we saw what happened against Florida. Coach Mills in his post game, like, pointed it, like, that was a bad, that didn't work. And so if Ballard can give them those kinds of minutes, he hasn't been in foul trouble in any of those games. You know, one, the only issue with Ballard over his time is his availability to be on the floor. If he can do that, it really is going to help this team withstand the loss of DeGray, which is such a big hole for them to fill. But that's certainly a good place to start.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, with this game specifically, the one thing we know about DePaul is that they shoot from long distance a lot. And that's not uncommon with some of the other opponents that Wichita State has faced over the course of the non-conference. So I think that they're accustomed to that. I mean, if you were inside Coke Arena and you saw East Tennessee State, like, they launched the ball from long distance a ton. And so I would expect that tomorrow against DePaul on the road. I think DePaul is going to come out of the gates wanting to shoot from long distance. So you've got to make sure that you are aware of that. If you're Wichita State, you got to make sure that you are defensively set and ready to go to be able to defend the three. And then you are also making sure that on the other end of the floor that you are completing your offensive possessions the way that you need to, and you're not turning the ball over, you're taking care of the basketball, and you're figuring out a way to get those rebounds on either side of the floor.
So DePaul this year, they got off to a great start, as teams do in college basketball, but they didn't play anybody, right? So they're kind of hard to figure. They played Southern Indiana, Prairie View, Mercer, Duquesne, Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois, Valpo. And then their last two games, they've stepped it up in competition. They went and played Texas Tech on the road, lost by 14, and then lost at home in overtime to Providence. So the bottom line is, this is a winnable game for the Shockers. Like, the Shockers are likely going to be favored even on the road in this game. It'll be close, but it's a winnable game. Does that make it easy? Absolutely not. It's a true road game against a big opponent. But it's another tremendous opportunity before they get into the conference schedule to boost the resume. And I also think, to your point in what you were just talking about, Tommy, it's the kind of game where Wichita State should impose its will, right? like not a game where it's like, how do we react to what DePaul does or wants to do, but how do they stop what Wichita State wants to do? And I think
And isn't that something, too, that Paul Mills has really been focused on recently? I mean, after watching, you know, when they played in Orlando and struggled against Florida and all of that, like, you can't be reactive. You have to be proactive. That means fighting for every single rebound, all the 50-50 balls, like everything. The toughness has got to show through. It's shown through against East Tennessee State, so you could tell that that was a point of emphasis. It's going to have to continue tomorrow.
It'll be fun. We'll talk about it on Monday. When we come back, we'll tell you what's on the network today. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back.